Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
They call it the Green Hell. 26 kilometers long, with 170 corners. It's the world's toughest circuit. And this weekend, we're racing it for 24 hours. The Nürburgring 24 hours.
We have no free practice here, Johnny. It is all competitive sessions from here on in.
Yeah, three standard qualifying sessions, if you like. Two of them taking place today, one tomorrow afternoon. The first is about to start within the next 30 seconds, and cars are assembling at the end of the pit lane to be involved in first qualifying, which is due to be a 90-minute session. Later on this evening, to allow for some nighttime running, second qualifying, which is an 8:30 start through till pretty late, 11:30 tonight. Then some opportunity to reset up the cars if necessary, because then at 10 past 2 tomorrow afternoon is third qualifying. That's only an hour and is eligible again to everybody. Although, if you're already qualified for the very top qualifying session, which is tomorrow at 10 to 6, if you're one of those 15 cars already in, you won't be able to take part in the first 20 minutes today, or indeed the first 20 minutes later and tomorrow.
That is effectively the Paul shootout that we're talking about there. In for the front, the very front of the field, the SP9, the GT3 cars.
Yes, because if you're going to be in top qualifying, or Q2 as it is listed in the regulations, you have to be an SP9, an SP Pro, or an SPX car. And there are, in Q2, 19 spots up for grabs, but 15 of them are already allocated because of the two NLS races we have had. That's the sort of domestic version of the 24 hours. It's unrelated, it's run by a completely different promoter, and actually a different circuit, different configuration of the Grand Prix track.
Good point.
Because we are using the Yokohama S at the start of the lap, which is the flick right and left, very, very tight there, particularly on the first lap on Saturday afternoon. And you go all the way down to the bottom of the hill on the Grand Prix track as well, to the hairpin this weekend, whereas they don't use that in NLS. But we've had qualifiers from two NLS races, from top qualifying in the qualification weekend, which was two weekends ago?
Yes.
And there were also qualifiers from those two races as well. There was a three-hour race on Saturday and a three-hour race on Sunday that weekend.
Yeah. There were two top qualifyings as well, but it was only the first one that counted. It's an extremely complicated algorithm, which we're not going to explain, mainly because Johnny and I don't understand it ourselves.
Correct. There is an argument as to exactly how interesting it is, actually. You need to know your stuff if you're a team.
Yes, exactly. But really, it doesn't matter right now, is what we're saying. Correct. What matters is when we get the list to tell us who the extra four are. We've had it on the wall, we've worked it out with quadratic equations, and we still haven't got the answer.
What I will say is, though, the 2022 regulations make it very easy for us to call the first bit of top qualifying tomorrow night, because we're just talking about the top four in that session. You have to be in the top four to then go through to final qualifying, which will determine the front 10 rows of the grid for 19 cars.
Not sure why it's 19 and not 20.
No, that's bugging me as well.
Is that a bit Enzo Ferrari? It's one fewer than you know you can sell. Is that
clever? That would answer it. Definitely.
I've got some very good news for you if you are a Glickenhaus fan, because that car was one of the first out, and immediately with a quick installation lap on the run round through the Grand Prix circuit, and then off to the Nordschleife itself. And we'll give you some times as they start coming in. The option in these early sessions with the corns part of the way up the front straight. In fact, the corns end right in front of our commentary box. We're at the finish line, right on the stripe, as we look across to the TOV Rhineland Tower. And the green flag is waving there at the moment. The penalty box right in front of us as well. So you can go around the Grand Prix circuit, and instead of peeling off onto the Hatzenbach, just come through the Vidal chicane and stay to the right. Come back through the old quarter corner curve in front of the Dorrent Hotel, which many people are doing, and then setting off on the lap. I had a good look at the cars yesterday in a pit walk down on the pit lane. As usual, the cars are pitted in groups, so nobody has a garage to themselves. I think the smallest number that I saw yesterday was four cars in a garage, but most of them are five and six. Out onto the circuit early on for the Audi number five, and that's got, well, we noticed this yesterday, absolutely outstanding lineup of drivers, as one might expect. Waiting just to see which of the drivers has gone out in that car. At the moment, that's the car that Frank Stippler is in. The timing screen's just getting warmed up this morning. We started with 90 minutes on the clock. Couldn't have much better than weather than what we have at the moment, than that which we have at the moment. A little bit of cloud blowing up over the top of the Schloss, the castle on the hill, but we can see that very easily, and there is sunshine on the front straight. This is a great place to be, and the atmosphere is building. Campsites, I would say, around about 75-80% full, so still one or two spaces for people maybe to turn in today. It is a holiday weekend, of course, Ascension Day today here in this part of the world. So the usual variety of cars going through. One of the Taichmann crossbows just going across in front of us and out onto the circuit. The Bilstein, or the Manfilter, excuse me, AMG on the Hatzenbach at the moment.
Yeah, so some key cars to look out for. I mean, what I'll do is I'll give you the already qualified cars for tomorrow's session, because clearly they're going to be some of the major movers and shakers. We've got two Rover Racing BMWs, and these are no longer the M6s. They are the brand new M4 GT3s, cars 99 and 98. I have to make sure I get this the right way around. The 99 car is already qualified, but the 98, the sister machine from Rover, has the hard work to do. Now, it's already kind of into first top qualifying tomorrow, but will need to finish in the top four if they want to progress and fight it out for a front row start. The 98 car has Nicky Katsberg, John Edwards, Sheldon van der Linde and Marco Wittmann. And in the sister machine, the 99 car, it's Conor De Filippi, Philip Eng, Augusto Farfus and Nick Yellerly, and it's the second of those cars that has already qualified. Also in the 72 BMW junior team, so same type of car for that crew. And 72, some good results already this year. Daniel Harper, Max Hesse and Neil Verhagen in car 72. That's the Shell backed machine. Got Conrad Motorsports Lamborghini Huracan for Axel Jeffries, Jordan Pepper and Michele Di Martino, the Italian. Car number 7 has already qualified. The first of the Audis in was the 22 machine, which is one of a couple of car collection backed, or rather prepared, cars. The number 22 has Chris Haase, Nico Müller, Patrick Niederhauser and René Rast. Just one of so many incredibly strong lineups. Valkenhorst Motorsport, 3 BMWs for them, 2 of which are already in, the 101 and the 102 cars. From a Team Get Speed point of view, these are the bright pink and white BWT-backed Mercedes-AMGs. Only one of those cars in so far, the Maro Engel, Jules Gounon and Daniel Junkadea piloted car. But the number three, which is the one that had Adam Christodoulou in it, they still have to qualify too. Last year's race winners, the champions, Michael Christensen, Kevin Estra, Fred McAveekey and Lawrence Vanthoor is this year's lineup for the number one Manti Racing car. That would normally run as, well, 911 or 912.
Yeah.
I forget now.
Yeah.
But anyway, they're number one this year because they won last year's race and they're already into qualifying, as is the number 25 Uber Motorsport Porsche, the 24, the second Audi from Car Collection. The Bilstein Mercedes that you've just mentioned, which is Raffaele Marciello, Philip Ellis, Lucas Stoltz. There's a Ferrari already into top qualifying two, which is the Octane 126 Ferrari 488. The Lion Speed by Car Collection Motorsport Audi. And finally, the 34 Schnitzelarm racing car already in two. And some of those cars will be on the main Nordschleife lap now. Others spending the early part of this 90-minute session just perambulating on the Grand Prix circuit. You can you can pick that middle lane as you get towards the hairpin at the end of the Grand Prix lap to go around again on the Grand Prix circuit, or indeed just to come into the pits.
So did you say that all those qualified cars don't get to come out in the
until 20 minutes in? Yes,
right.
That's right. So
right, okay,
actually
understood.
Many of them, all of them, will not be actually out on the circuit yet, because we're not 20 minutes in, are we? No, only 10 in. So yeah, there'll be a burst from the pit lane of those 15 cars in about 10 minutes time.
Okay.
Hence the reason why the 98 Rover Racing BMW is taking part in this session, because they by no means have their weekend sorted yet and a front row start secured.
Now, what is important to understand is that for everybody outside those top classes that JP mentioned a few moments ago, so the SP9, the SPX, the SP8s, these qualifying sessions now will set the grid. So when we talk about fastest in class in these sessions, they are provisional pole sitters, Johnny. That's correct.
They are.
They don't get to come out again.
That's right. There are a total of 22 different classes here this year, and three of those classes, their positions will be determined tomorrow in the evening session. So that means we've got 19 classes that we're all finding out who's going to be in pole position for Saturday and Sunday's race. 4 o'clock start on Saturday. So you've got classes like Cup 2, Cup 3, Cup 5, Cup X.
VT front and VT2 front and VT2.
It's been
really
split,
yes,
this year.
Yeah.
So you have front and you have Hecker. VT2 Hecker, which is for the rear wheel drive cars. SP8T, SP8, SP40. There are, as I say, 22 classes in total. And we will try and feature them all throughout the course of the next 4 days.
Yeah, good luck with that, as I said. We've got a yellow flag out by the carousel. Try and bring you the car for that. It's the carousel exit. Actually, it's clear again already. So possibly just a little drop there. These early sessions, of course, are going to take a while before we get times coming through for you. So we're not talking about times because quite simply there aren't any at the moment, and still cars coming out onto the Grand Prix circuit having done a quick install lap. Notice the second of the Ferraris. Two Ferraris here in the top class, the Octane 126 we know about, but the blue and white Ferrari is here as well.
Racing One.
Correct.
Yes, and their lineup may sneak beneath the radar, but shouldn't actually be overlooked. Racing One Ferrari for Christian Kohlhaas. Stefan Kohler, Norbert Schneider is in that car, and Alex Koenig. So that will be, I need to refer to my notes, but I'm pretty sure that is a Pro-Am machine.
Right.
And there are Pro-Ams permitted into top qualifying, in fact actively encouraged, and there's nothing to stop a Pro-Am car starting from pole position. Depending on who you put into it, it should then naturally fall a little further down the order. But bear in mind, of the 15 cars, 6 of them are Pro-Am that are already qualified, including one of the Vulcan Horse Motorsport BMWs, and car 14 is on the eligible list to take part in Q1 tomorrow. along with a number of other Pro-Am cars as well. But it's going to be interesting to see how that car gets on, not for an outright good result, but within that Pro-Am mixture of SP9s.
So, still waiting. We say this every time we come here. Recalibrate your brains here. If you're a motorsport fan, even if you're a Le Mans fan with an 8.5 mile lap, this is as long a game as that, so twice the distance around. So in terms of lap times, we should start to see we're getting the split times coming in, but we haven't had a full time yet. Just starting to see cars coming through now. There goes the number 5 Audi, one of the Audi Evo 2s, of course, we're on to with that car now. 10 years since Audi first won this race. That was the Share a Sport team, Phoenix machine. Vincent Kolb, Frank Stippler, Ricardo Fella, and Kelvin von der Linde, who are teamed up for that. Interesting strategic calls happening even before we get to competitive running, never mind the race, in how the teams, particularly at the sharp end of the field, JP, have selected their drivers, and particularly the numbers of drivers. Is it a 4-driver race now? Is it a 3-driver race now? And it seems that there's no consensus there between the top teams.
You can run with as few as two, you know. That's what it says in the regulations, run with two drivers.
That makes S period calculations very, very difficult.
Horrible, horrible. Yeah. So, unsurprisingly, none of the top teams are doing that. But a lot of them are going with three, which is the approach... mandated approach for Le Mans, of course, but the more popular route in more recent years has been 4 drivers at this event, and it's fairly telling for me that the guys defending the 2021 title, car number 1, do have 4 drivers. But you look the next 2 cars down the list at GetSpeed, and both of their Mercedes, only the 3.
Yeah, GetSpeed in a new for 2022 colour scheme. We've been used to seeing those in the red and white. They are now in the pink, blue and white BWT colours, so get used to seeing that this weekend. Yeah, the BMW M2 Racing Cup car of Schubert Motorsport with Torsten Schubert, Stefan and Michael von Zabienski is the car that's causing the yellow at the exit of Carousel. That has stopped out there, according to race control. No further details on that than that at the moment.
So car 98, an 8.17.540 was a very early effort from John Edwards, and that actually on preliminary lap times coming in now gives him a 4.2 second advantage over the number 29, which is one of the two Dynamic Motorsport Porsches for Matteo Cairoli. So BMW faster than Porsche, and that 29 car's time an 8.21.8, and then the Aston Martin, which is numbered car 90 for Nicky Thiem, and he is at the wheel of the TF Sport Vantage, joined by Marco Sorensen, David Pittard, Maxime Martin for the race. But it's the Dane putting in the initial time, his first effort, an 8.22.184. So we've got BMW ahead of Porsche, Aston Martin, then the first of the Audis, and that is the number 15 car for Laurens Vanthoor. Dries Vanthoor, I should say. Dries in the Team Phoenix car. All I'm getting on my screen, unfortunately, is the first 3 letters of everybody's surname, so I do have to cross-check to make sure we're getting the correct of the two brothers there. And 44 will be Klaus Backler in the Falcon Motorsport Porsche. Remember, Falcon, having many years ago run, what, 2, 4, 5 years ago, having run a BMW M6 and a Porsche, as their two cars, they've gone the two Porsche route for the last few years. And 33 and 44, virtually identical when we looked at them up close in the garages yesterday. Klaus Backler, though, labelled to be driving 44, along with Alessio Picariello, Patrick Pile, and Martin Raginger. Pile's in both of them, though, and it remains to be seen whether that will be the case come the race. It gives them flexibility, though, should they want to do that. And you said there's some doubt about Jackson Evans being in 33?
He's moved across to a Porsche customer team.
Right.
Mark was Seyfried telling us that last week. BMW under tow now. And that was the 880 car, the Schubert Motorsport M2 Racing Cup. That car is under tow and coming back. Earl Bamber is in the pits for KCMG. What a team lineup that is for the number 18 car. And that is a stellar lineup with Nick Tandy in that car, along with Josh Burden and Dennis Olsen. KCMG taking this very seriously indeed. Marco Sorensen, see above comments about taking seriously. No Aston Martin works teams here, but if we did have a works team, it might look very much like the number 90 car of TF Sport, Tom Ferrier, pulling together. Marco Sorensen, Nicky Team, David Pittard and Maxime Martin into that car. A team that no success, JP. Happy to say that they were learning the ropes here in the early races of the Nürburgring Langstrecke series. And of course we lost the second round of that due to bad weather, so a third of the running that they were expecting has disappeared in that. But you've got to say that that is a team, despite their relative lack of experience here, who will expect to be battling for the pole position and battling at the front of the field.
I don't see why not, because TF Sport are, you know, they actually got a Le Mans drive after winning a championship elsewhere in ACO Rules Racing, and have good pedigree in things like British GT and the Spa 24 Hours as well. And Peter Snowden and I, Peter, you'll be hearing from later on in the weekend, we're trying to work out how much mileage that particular chassis has done. And Tom Ferrier very quickly getting back in touch with Peter to say virtually everything in the last probably 12 months. It's had so many big races under its belt so far, and they are definitely looking to put a Nürburgring 24 Hour victory to its CV by the end of the weekend. And yeah, early pace pretty good from Nicky Team. He's now switched that, or taken, moved that car to Marco Sorensen, and it is running in sixth position in these early exchanges. That car having not, even though it has done some NLS racing, not pre-qualified. So one of a number of SP9 cars that are eligible for those top four spots up for grabs tomorrow evening. Marco Wittmann is the new driver, by the way, to take charge of BMW 98. Could have been Nicky Katzberg, could have been Sheldon van der Linde, but after John Edwards set the initial pace, 8:17.540, popped that in really early on in this 90-minute session, and now Marco Wittmann, the 32-year-old German, taking over from the American. We've got Julian Andlauer, as John mentioned, in the 27 Porsche. Car 27 is the entry from TalkSport WRT, which means that the Get Speed Mercedes, which is the only pre-qualifier up there right now, and that is Maro Engel, who has put it third fastest ahead of the Mercedes, or rather the Audi of Team Phoenix, and the early pace set there by Belgian Dries Vantor. So he's fourth fastest, with Earl Bamber's KCMG Porsche number 18 in fifth position, and then the Aston Martin from TF Sport concentrating at the moment on the very blurry livery on the OVR Racing Ford Mustang, which won't be fueling in the usual spot outside the garage.
Good point.
Instead, one of five cars that will be at the alternatively fueled bay, which is a sharp right and a sharp left almost immediately when you come into pit lane. And the fuel was laid out yesterday. Actually, I had a good little look at it, to try and work out what are the contents. It is biofuel of some description, Racing E-Fuel 98. And there shouldn't be as much of a kind of, as much of the ballet dancing that is required in the main pit lane, because that's all about, you know, when you're sharing a garage with five other cars potentially, you have to have some conversation about when your car is being pitted so that there is no clash. Much less likely for that to be happening at pit in, where I notice actually the Toyota Supra is parked currently. It's being fueled
Esque. Wow, I like the paint scheme on the Octane 126 Ferrari. That's moved on significantly from when I was covering a lot of NLS races last year. Is that gold with the orange stripe livery being carried on Octane 126 all year? No, okay. No, John's shaking his head.
It was in its black livery. So
Jonathan Hershey perhaps debuting for the Swiss squad Octane 126. A very bright gold front-to-back paint scheme with the bright rail, bright orange door mirrors. I like that. The Evo 20 Ferrari 488 for Swiss driver Jonathan Hershey, just heading up to one of the highest points on the Grand Prix circuit.
Ferraris have been there or thereabouts here down through the years. I remember back to the hybrid 911 almost winning here for Porsche, and at the same time, we had a Ferrari running on Hankook tyres, which very nearly won the race as well. And in fact, that Ferrari had won the previous weekend at the Spa 6 Hours and had been converted to effectively GT3 SP9 spec in the intervening days. But they've never delivered here. Mm. And the stranglehold, which is almost unbroken, not quite, of the German marks here, has not been challenged by the Italian marks of Lamborghini or Ferrari, or indeed from Aston Martin. Now, in fairness, Aston and Bentley, when they were here, and we'd love to see them back, the two British marks haven't had Aston Martin haven't had a full works team here, and they don't have full works racing at the moment. Seeable for Ferrari as well, of course, because they don't do a works GT team. But we haven't seen AF come here and race. It was we've seen in the past Rinaldi running the Wockenspiegel car, although the Wockenspiegel team now off in another championship. But they've never quite been able to seal the deal. Got an intervention vehicle out on the circuit just coming up to Flugplatz. And that is car 257, I think, that is pulled over at the side of the road, if I'm reading the race control correctly. And 257, therefore, is the Zorc Rennsport Cayman. The 982, Stefan Bayer, Heiko Eichberg, Fidel Lieb, and Bjorn Simon.
And was there a hairy moment for the Octane 126 Ferrari? It's run over some quick dry there, and that was heading into end of the lap, was that? No, it was doing closure of the Grand Prix circuit, actually. Anyway, Jonathan Hershey survived that. He's somewhere. Yeah, it was probably Ender Hatson back, because he's now into the fourth sector. Yes, fourth sector, because there are a total of 9 timing sectors around this track. Some very lengthy indeed, i.e. 2 and 3 minutes. Some pretty short at about 45 seconds. But it does give us a measurement scale of how certain cars are getting on around the lap. Nick Yellerly, for instance, joining the session 20 minutes into it in the pre-qualified number 99 Rover Racing BMW, has just set the second sector of anybody. So that is the second portion of the Grand Prix lap. And Yellerly's gone across the line to start a new Nordschleife lap. The 99 BMW is 10th so far. So 220, I think, is the car that is being recovered from that run up to Flugplatz, which is one of the GT Tire Motorsport SP8T cars. GT Tire Motorsport here in force this weekend by WS Racing. And for some reason, the intervention vehicle has now stopped as well, perhaps to get some assistance.
I think something's broken on that car,
well,
Johnny.
Well, possibly.
And they can't flat tow it anymore.
Yeah.
It looks like there might be a suspension issue.
It's a BMW M4 GT4 that runs in SP8T, the 220 car. And the driver with the drama, Schreiner, having to steer the car according to the intervention vehicle. But yes, maybe something has gone bang related to the reason why that car stopped initially. So again, this is just a nightmare situation this early on in the weekend for Carrie Schreiner, who is sharing with Celia Martin, Fabienne Vollvend and Pippa Mann in that BMW M4.
Coming down to 45 minutes, so about 4 minutes to what is effectively half time here. We won't be changing ends, but we will be changing commentators here in the booth. Ben Constant-Dearest just doing his warm-up at the moment, rubbing himself down with warm halibut oil and doing his vocal exercises out in the Eifel Mountains. Listen very carefully, you can hear him yodeling. Takes his inspiration from Hans-Joachim Stuck.
He'll have to be very loud to beat all of that thrash metal, which is probably being pumped out from various areas of the campsites this year. And isn't it so good to have that back for the first time in 3 years?
Totally agree. Totally agree.
Inglorious.
Such a big part of this championship.
Yeah. Massive, massive. Inglorious sunshine now, heading to the ice curver, is Jonathan Hershey, not hanging around, setting personal bests pretty much all the way around this lap for Ferrari number 19. A little bit of traffic up ahead with some Cup 3 Caymans. And get used to that, because with the cars sent off at 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon in three different batches, three different grids, it really won't take very long for the leading SP9 cars to catch the lower order classes and then having to deal with that for the best part of 24 hours.
It's normally on the second lap, isn't it? They've just started their first lap, and we've got slightly fewer cars than we're allowed. Just under 140. The cap now is at 170 for a full race. But a very strong field in terms of the quality of the field. It's been a long time since we've had the 200s that we used to see in yesteryear. A lot of the smaller engine categories for safety reasons, as the race got faster and faster with the GT3 cars. A lot of those smaller engine capacity cars were left out. Which I understand that some people like those. There were some fan favourites among those little Daihatsus and Suzuki Swifts. But the speed differential even now between the top GT3 cars and even the middle of the field, never mind the back of the field, is quite eye-opening for us sitting here. What it must be like in the driver's seat of the car doing the passing, or indeed the car being passed, I shudder to think.
Yes, but you look at the key teams, and there are 15, 20 of them that have all a chance of winning this event. That Nürburgring experience, you can have sports car experience, but I would say it needs to be specific to here and the intricacies of winning this race. They just know how to deal with that traffic, and in trying weather conditions where they can and can't put the car. There's a racing line, yes, but very often you're not even on that on the approach to certain corners. And sometimes you're approaching a corner at a completely different speed from what you're used to, because you might be coming out of a code 120, a code 60 locally, remember, because there are speed limits in place when incidents are being dealt with. And then as soon as you see a green flag, you go again with probably your rivals right on your tailpipes, because that, again, we'll explain this in detail, but sometimes 10-second gaps can disappear on a lap because you're going into a yellow flag area, and in the initial phase of yellow flag, there's no rule about closing that gap up. You just can't overtake. So sometimes a 10-15-second gap just disappears, and that's the fascinating element of this race, as the 33 Falcon Motorsport Porsche heads back into pit lane, and their box pretty early on in pit road, 33 and 44 operating out of the same garage. I was thinking actually yesterday, Black Falcon of old used to enter more than one car into this race, but elected to have a garage at the start and at the end of the pit lane, and that's very, very smart. Not many teams have done that this year. Now, whether that's been mandated against, but 33 and 44, as I say, operating out of box number 6, which again means that you've got to be so careful with how you operate during the race.
So the two Falcon Tyres cars in those very distinctive colours. Legendary colours, certainly iconic. And we've got a Golf Mark 7 in TCR that's running in those colours as well. Welcome along if you're just joining us. Halfway through the first qualifying session for the 2022 50th anniversary Total Energies ADAC 24 Hours of the Nürburgring. And a very good afternoon, as it is, to Ben Constanduras, who joins us for the first time in the broadcast down through the years. We've been here since 2007. Welcome along. Not your first trip, I'm sure, to the Nürburgring, but first to the 24 Hours?
Not to the event, because a few years ago, the World Touring Car Championship, as it was then, joined as a support category. And at that point, I was still part of it. So I had 1 year of working on that event, and therefore having the opportunity to be a fan here and nice. To go around the campsites and see just the incredible atmosphere that is put on by the loyal fans that fill the campsites around the area. And we were discussing this morning how much of those fans just love being at the event. Doesn't necessarily mean they are sitting watching the race lap by lap, but they are. It's sort of a soundtrack as well as the music that is performed. And so I was able to be part of that and see what it is like from a fan perspective. Great to be in the compound with you guys this weekend and to hopefully learn as much as the rest of us on how this works with 100 and, well, with you mentioned just under 140 cars on the entry list. We've only actually seen 134 on track in this session so far, and of those 134, only 126 so far have set full lap time. So some of those you would expect, the SP9 cars that were blocked from the first 20 minutes haven't yet set lap times, such as Christopher Mies in the 24 Audi Sport Car Collection. They haven't actually got a lap time in yet, but he should soon complete his first lap. And Nico Menzel is another car that hasn't set a lap time and is in sector 3 of the lap now in the Porsche Huber Motorsport. Those are two kind of headline SP9 cars we haven't seen. CP Racing obviously haven't set a lap time, but we saw why, because of the little contact down at Turn 1.
Yeah, that was with the Toyota Altis, one of the Team Thailand Toyota Gazoo Thailand cars, the 120, not the full Thai driver team. Natavude Charansuka Watana was out in the 119 early on, and I think he was at one stage was leading his class. We'll check that. No Manta Foxtail this year. If you're just catching up on it and you're regular here, there was a nasty fire in the garage where those where that car is prepared, and not sure about it. Didn't look too bad, but it was likely to have been the last outing in this race for that fan favourite car, the old style Opel Manta, running the Foxtail on the aerial. And we were wondering what cars might take over. We were musing on Twitter last week about what cars might take over. Suggested that the Ford Mustang was quite characterful. There is a Dacia Logan running in this race, pitted with a whole lot of GT3 cars, extraordinarily. I think it's in with the two Rover racing cars, if I remember rightly, from the walk down the pit lane yesterday. We've got those two team Toyota Team Gazoo Thailand Altis. Something about unassuming cars that seems to catch the attention of you, the enthusiast, watching and listening around the world. All live and free, of course, this weekend across the Radio Show Limited network and our syndications. And looking after our TV colleagues as well for the race. Another contretemps at Turn 1 a moment or two ago with the KTM Crossbow hitting the Alpecin BMW, the 102 car, and that was the car that was turned around. And that 102 has still not rejoined properly. That is the Valkenhorst Motorsport car of Jörg Müller, Mario van Boorlen, Ben Tuck and Jan Schmidt Stader.
I think the KTM was the 116.
Six. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's the Max Hoffer, Tim Heinemann, Mads Stielhoff, Stielhauk, excuse me, and Reinhard Koffler.
I think Max Hoffer aboard that car right now.
And we are in need of some assistance down at turn one. Very easy to get it wrong down there in terms of on your own, but also easy.
Oh,
I think he's just run into the safety car that was pulling him back out the way, the Audi there as well. Also easy to perhaps have a little bit of mixed communication, because the line into that is very difficult. As you come down the hill into turn one, which is normally a very tight right-hander, there is a slight kink in the start-finish straight, and you leave a lot of room on the inside there, and it can look as if you're going to let someone through. As I say, easy to get wires crossed. Coming down the Dodinger at the moment, Antti Burley for Hyundai in the i30 NTCR. This is the number 831 car. They have an Elantra as well, entered by Hyundai Motorsport. They have a performance centre here on Gottlieb Daimler Strasse, which is the street that runs parallel to the Dottigerhoer on the other side of the public road, which is just to driver's left. Many of the major manufacturers and tier one suppliers, particularly tyre suppliers, have performance centres down that way.
And this car will be shared with Moritz Oestrich and Jean-Carl Vernet, who is not only driving in the Electric Touring Car Championship, but also in the World TCR. So he's got double duty this weekend with the sprint races on Saturday morning and then jumping into this car. He's the only one of the three doing that. And likewise with the sister car, as you said, the Elantra, that will be piloted by Manuel Lauck, Mark Basseng and Mikael Ashkenaz. And Mikael, new to Hyundai, moving across from being a works Cupra driver. And so he's getting his, I think, first opportunity to do the 24 hours, already a race winner for Hyundai in the sprint races, due to his his sprint victory. I hope that's a replay and not what we've previously commented about the BMW running into the Audis.
Did it hit it, or did it just get caught on the tow rope as it was being driven backwards by Jörg Müller?
We've just seen Jörg Müller being towed away. There is still seemingly yellow flags down there, and on our screens we're seeing what seems to be a very similar incident where they've towed the car, and I think the Audi might have a little bit of damage. Hopefully not too much. Oh, yes, the panel is missing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
So that's going to be an interesting insurance claim. What happened there? Ah, well, the BMW racing car that I was towing ran into me.
As you can see, the campsite's already incredibly well-filled. This being a holiday today, as was mentioned, the 24 hours always across a holiday weekend, yeah. Sometimes the Monday being a holiday, but due to Ascension Day being a fixed day, it doesn't always sit on the same day, and today's a Thursday, so the holiday offices tend to be pretty quiet on a Friday after a Thursday bank holiday.
Do you think?
We see it in France as much as across the rest of Europe, where everyone just takes that day off and has, in France, what we call a pont, which is a bridge.
Yeah.
And I think many, or most people, they came in very early, though. The campsite queues at the start of the week were mammoth already on Tuesday.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who came in early. Just a note on that incident earlier on between the number 21 AMG from CP Racing and the 120 Toyota Altis. The team manager has been asked to go and have a word with the clerk of the course from CP Racing. Hello to David King, who is listening in Sussex in the UK, listening and watching. It's not the same without you here, David. I hope you're settling into the new post. We'll miss your nocturnal visits and chats here on our coverage. David and his former employees, Aston Martin, fact, David King got us involved in the first place back in 2007 was the first race that we covered here. This is the first year that we've not had any Aston Martin involvement, but they are here with TF Racing. Mr. King, hope to see you here soon. There's still time, you know. Jump in a car, grab the Eurotunnel and get yourself down. You know you want to. He'd be taking in a bit of cricket this weekend as well, if I know David. So, some remedial work going on down at Turn 1 behind the tape from the front protective grille in front of the intercoolers for the air conditioning and the oil on the Audi recovery vehicle.
And Marshall's taking plenty of photos, presumably for that insurance claim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting that Jo Muller hasn't got the 102 car moving again. It didn't seem like a big hit between himself and the KTM. The KTM seemingly still running, but 102 yeah. Now parked up, which will end its session prematurely.
At RSL underscore studio. And that's how you get in touch with us. If you want to put something on the screen in front of us and tell us where you're watching and or listening from. RS1 for the audio via radio-show.co.uk, all free. And, of course, on our syndicated channels. There's video there as well. Variously around the world on different partner sites. And, of course, via the event website as well, where you will find a huge amount of information, including all the rules and regulations. 24h-renin.de. Absolutely a mine of information.
Nicky Katzberg on a push lap, sitting behind the KTM, which in this particular series is classed as a GT3 car. Although in some series this Expo can be a GT2 spec, or we see it as a GTX in other series.
There's GT2, GT3 and GT4 versions, effectively.
Of the same car, yeah.
Because it's different varieties of tune. And
it's an SPX here.
Well. Yeah. Different engines. There's a 4 and a 5-cylinder version. Audi engines, of course, straight 4 and straight 5. In the variety of different varieties. As you get to the faster cars, they actually have a slightly wider body as well. Very impressive piece of engineering. Carbon fibre chassis. And very quick in a straight line, yeah. Nicky Katzberg is finding out on the Dottinger Heer. He's dragged up behind the KTM.
Oh, and you can actually hear the engine revs rise as he gets the slipstream from the KTM. He has the inside line on the Dottinger Heer, so that's allowed him to get past. But he'll be very happy with that slipstream that he took all the way down the long straight. He's in quite a bulky BMW that's going to take a lot of punch to get through the air.
But they are very quick in a straight line, yeah. The BMWs. We've seen this throughout the early running in the NLS and the 2 qualifying races a couple of weekends ago. Another thing to keep your eye out for is for the unique additional lighting on the KTM crossbow. It is underneath the front of the car and all in the middle of the car. So not quite a cyclops, but it's kind of got that idea. Very low down, very bright white light, but all in the middle of that front grille. And about to be hassled by another BMW is there on the Grand Prix circuit at the moment. Nicky Katzberg in the number 98. That car with the quickest time in 8:17.540. That was John Edwards' time from early on. Raffaele Mattiello is now behind the wheel of the second place car, the number 12 AMG Team Bilstein. Toxport and Mathieu Jaminet in the Porsche for the number 27 car. Toxport coming here full of expectation, really. They really feel like they're getting on top of that Porsche now. Then it's Daniel Yucadella for Team GetSpeed in one of the 2 pink, blue and white Mercedes. That's the number 4 car. Frederik Vervisch for Audi Sport Team Phoenix in 5th position for the 15 car. And all of those top 6 on a lap time of 8 minutes and 17 to 20, 2 seconds between the top 6, which around here is absolutely nothing at all. As out goes Grelo, the number one defending champion car for Mantai Racing.
Lap record is in the 12s,
yeah,
set last year in obviously relatively quiet period and dry period of what was a very interrupted 24 hours last year and the year before. The last 2 years, 59 and 85 laps completed for the winner. 7 hours of red flag in 2020 and 10 hours of... Or sorry, more than 14 hours,
yeah,
in 2021.
We did not get 10 hours of racing. I think it was 9:40-something of racing, such as it was, including that just over three and a half hours of a blast to the end of the race.
And we are expecting rain across the weekend. We are at the Nürburgring. It always happens. But the forecast isn't vicious. It's there is spots of rain and localised showers, which will certainly hit the track at some point. But if the conditions stay relatively consistent, then that fog that has affected us over the last couple of years shouldn't come up too much. It does look very cold at night. It does look like it might get down to about 4 degrees.
It's been cold the last couple of nights that we've been here. Very chilly.
We've got a northerly wind at the moment. That's the... That's the problem.
It's Arctic. Don't know where it's coming from, but I know where it's going. Hello to Morris GT Ace. Thank you very much for tuning in. And to fans of this race all over the world, hello to Nikolai B.
Ooh.
Who's in the Nordic countries.
Bit of contact with the barrier for the 107 machine, which is a Porsche... That's 131, sorry.
It's a 992 Cup car with the swan neck rear on that. That's Torsten Jung behind the wheel.
Well, it's a tyre barrier here, so we must be on the Grand Prix loop, I'm suspecting.
Yeah, red and white curbs. And he just lost it on his own, pinched it with an older Golf. And that's actually quite a big accident for the 131. And that is the Mulner Motorsport car that he shares with Michael Raban, Nick Salowski, Marcel Hupper, all German team, in the Cup 2 class, which is the Carrera Cup cars for the new 992 version.
Three layers of tyre barrier down there, and the car looks relatively good considering it's hit the barrier quite hard.
Left rear suspension would be my guess there.
Yellow flag showing at Marshall Point 36, which is Bilstein.
Yeah, correct. Just before you drop down the hill to head on to the Nürburgring Nordschleife. The car is not moving at the moment. Now, there is a place that that could be dragged back to. The 992 Cup cars, obviously built into the current iteration of the venerable 911 shape. Just the eighth version of the car since it came out in 1963. And I think right back to form for Porsche and its designers. Real throwback to 964s and the 993s. That is the 4-litre Cup engine, producing just over 500 horsepower. Normally aspirated flat six. And a thing of beauty, a thing to be celebrated. The sound of that engine. I will put my hand up and say I'm a fan of flat sixes. We have a number of them.
Got two cars from Schubert Motorsport yet to have set a lap time out there. The 880, which they are running, which is a BMW M2 Racing Cup, the single make vehicle that will be used for the BMW Legends race that we're going to get on Saturday morning.
Very much looking forward to that.
Difficult cars, the M2 Racing Cup car, to really extract the best time out of. They're built for sort of your first step into GT racing. They do move around a lot. There's not a lot of aero that pushes them onto the ground, and they slide around a huge amount.
They are the natural successor to the 235, which then became the 240. And that is, in BMW M Performance's 50th anniversary year, that is the entry level, as you see, Ben. A very, very cost-effective way to go motor racing. There's various national and regional series and a specific class for them here at the Nürburgring for the 24-hour race and for the Nürburgring Langstrecke series as well. And we've seen some very good drivers come out of that and some phenomenal racing in that category and in its predecessor categories down through the years, with places changing on the run to the line. They are so evenly matched, but as you say, difficult to wring a lap time out of consistently. And there's nothing wrong in that, you know. You need to build your confidence in these cars.
The other car that's missing from Schubert Motorsport, which will complete its first lap in just a few moments' time, is their BMW M4 that they're running in the SP9 class. That's the number 20 machine with Kirki Suono aboard that machine in the final sector of the lap. So we should get a lap time from them very shortly, which will leave us with just three cars to set a lap time in this first practice session.
Hello to Andrew from Perth, Australia. Good to see relatively clear skies, hoping that it continues for the weekend. You've cursed it now, Andrew. You know we'll have to blame you every time there's precipitation. Coming down to the bottom of the hill and the Dunlop hairpin, TalkSport Porsche about to go out onto the Nordschleife. Grello just through the Kleiner Carousel on its way back through the Gallows Hill complex and onto the Dottiger Hurt, with a relatively clear track ahead and fast-moving cars. Never difficult to spot the number one car, as it is this year, sitting in 12th position. Just gone down to 12th, and that's because Nicky Katzberg has just improved. 8.14.771 to go ahead of Christian Kronjes in the Valkensport car, who'd sneaked up there ahead of Raffaele Marchiello. So BMW, Mercedes, then the TalkSport number 27 of Matty Campbell. Gilles Gounon's going out in the fifth place AMG Team Get Speed car, and here is Grello coming to the line for Laurens Vanthoor, currently in 13th position. Who else has just improved? That would be Kuba Gyimasiak for Share a Sport Team. Does he go up? He does a couple of places with an 8.20.484. But the new best time has been improved to an 8.14.771. Fully 1.1 seconds ahead of the field now for the Rover Racing BMW M4 GT3, the number 98 car.
This number one machine, obviously carrying the number one due to its success last year, winning with Christensen, Estra and Cairoli. Cairoli not part of that lineup this year. They've also moved to a four-driver lineup from the three drivers that took the victory last year. How many hours of driving each of the three of them would have done, considering how little action we had. And we have seen sometimes drivers, certainly 2 years ago, I remember BMW had drivers doing both cars, double yeah. bubble, and due to the fact there was very little driving, so the winning team, in fact, which was Katzberg, Sims and Yellerly, I think had Eng in the entry list for that car, should have driven that car and would have done had it been a 24-hour race, but because of the red flag for 7.5 hours, never got in that particular lineup and therefore didn't take victory.
And that's exactly what happened last year for the Grello car with Lars Kern.
Ah.
He didn't get his lap, so was in the team for Manthei. Lars Kern, apart from being a very accomplished racing driver, also legendary status for Porsche road car development, and is normally the driver who does all the fast laps in the road cars to set the records for Porsche around the Nordschleife. So knows this. I think it's fair to say knows this place pretty well. Nick Tandy did a bit of that as well in his tenure with Porsche as a works driver. He's back with KCMG, Tandy. Hello to the Tandy family, Brittany. And the children will be listening in over the weekend, I'm sure.
Hopefully not listening in right now. They should be at school.
Yeah, probably still.
Yeah, Cairoli's moved too dynamic for this year's event, so we won't see him in the Manti car. And Lawrence Fanthor, Frederick McAvicky join that lineup of four drivers. Christensen and Estra, therefore, able to defend their title in the team and the car they took victory. Probably not the same chassis. I imagine that chassis is now in a museum somewhere.
Just under 20 minutes to go, and another problem out on the circuit. And it's another Porsche problem. It's coming down the hill towards the Vidal chicane before they head out onto the Hats and back. So still on the Grand Prix circuit, so not that difficult a job to get it back into the pit lane.
I think it might be Nico Menzel in the 21 at Uber Motorsport Porsche.
It was definitely MBN on the windscreen, so good spot there. Ben Constanduras, who's alongside me, John Hindorf, for this session. We'll roll through the rest of the team once we get into the afternoon and evening qualifying, should I say.
Spectacular photo last night from Porsche races. 36 Porsches on the entry list of the 130, well, eight that was on the provisional list. We've only seen 135 on track.
Yeah, they got them all together, didn't they?
Yeah, so I don't know whether we're missing three cars from this session or whether we're missing three cars generally. But as I say, only 135 cars that we've seen on track so far in this session. And as we've mentioned, a couple of cars yet to set a lap time. The BMW M4 GT4 of GT Tyre Motorsport is out on track, but has yet to complete a full lap. We saw CP Racing come out. They went back into the pits and haven't been able to come back out since, which leaves a mystery over the last three cars.
Right. Well, good call. We haven't talked about the provisional pole sitters, and this is a qualifying session for the 22 classes. Here's how they start. SPX, SP9 and SP8 will go in top qualifying, but everybody else, this is a qualifying session, as are the next two sessions. As the checkered flag has gone out for whom? I've still got 17 minutes left on the clock here.
Oh, yeah.
How very odd.
I would agree that the session should have been a 90-minute session.
That was what we were told. Finishing the earlier, the session earlier, as maintenance work is required. I'm not entirely certain why that is.
Well, we saw where the Porsche went off. He did remove the tyre barrier quite a lot, didn't he?
Good call. So a good opportunity then for me to give you the provisional pole sitters. We'll start at the back of the field with V4 and the FK Performance BMW in 114th position. VT3, Team Mathol Racing in their Cayman 718S. That's the number 300 car in 111th. The V5 provisional pole sitter is Adrenaline Motorsports Cayman 981, the 444 car in 106th. 106th. In 103rd, SP3 top qualifier at the moment is the Toyota Corolla Altis. That is the Team Thailand car, the 119. VT2 front wheel drive is the 332 Hyundai i30N. That's in 100th position. The 240i BMW class, led by the 245 Schnitzelarm Racing GmbH. That is the leader in that category in 97th, that was what I was trying to say. VT2 front wheel drive is the VK Performance Motorsport 330i. Rear drive, yes, that's what I said. And that is the 336 in 94th. V6 is led in 91st overall by Adrenaline Motorsports Cayman S981. Porsche 718 GTS, the SP4T is the privately engined number 718 in 84th position. In Cup 5, M2 Racing Cup category, it's another Adrenaline Motorsport team car, it's the 871, they're in 77th position. Huber Motorsport have the provisional pole in the 991 Porsche Carrera Cup class, that is the SP7 category, and they're in 68th position. The Subaru is at the head of SP3T. This is the STI International 114 car. Hoffa Racing and the 200 car in 62nd position is provisionally on pole position for SP6 with their E46 GTR BMW M3. M4 GT4 EVO 2021 for the privately entered number 79 in 55th position. That leads SP10, so provisionally on pole position there. TCR Hyundai Motorsport for the Elantra TCR, running in a very creditable 54th position. Manuel Lach brought that one across the line, the 830. Another FK Performance Motorsport provisional pole sitter in 51st position for a 718 Cayman GTS. That is the number 263. One position further up in 50th for SP8T. And that's the Dürr Motorsport Aston Martin Vantage, the number 150. The Dodge Viper CC GT3 leads the alternative fuel category in 41st position. That's a privately entered car. Klaus Ablen for Flicatelli Racing Team. Great to see him back behind the wheel and that team here. They are leading the Carrera Cup 2 category in 35th position with the 128. The 160 is leading the Cup X class. That is the KTM Crossboard GTX of Teichmann Racing. In 15th position, SPX is the True Racing Crossboard GT2. Marcus Baltala behind the wheel of that. And I did try to look to see where the Glickenhaus was. They haven't really shown. And top of the shop is the BMW M4 GT3 of Von der Linde and his teammates. That's the Rove Racing car, the number 98. And I said I would try and find the 702. They weren't here for yesterday. That car was taken away after scrutineering. They have run some laps today, but they haven't troubled the top of the scoring. They may be running a different scheme of things and breaking components in, running components in, but I'm not sure that's the best of news if you are following the American supercar. So we'll try and find out in the intervening time what is going where. But at the front of the field, the cream has risen to the top, Ben, with Rover Racing, Valkenhorst Motorsport, Team Bilstein, Talksport, Porsche, Team GetSpeed, Phoenix, KCMG, Rover Racing again, TF Sport, ninth position for the Aston, and the top 10 made up by last year's race winners. That's a decent run for those guys at the top of the field.
Very hard also to get a clear lap in with just 38 minutes of green flag, clear track running. We've had 15 minutes of yellow flag, and at the end of the session there we had a slow zone and a code 60 zone around where the barriers have been damaged on the inside of the Bilstein corner, which is the fast right-hander going onto the fast last part of the Grand Prix lap. And we just saw a replay of the Porsche getting offline and trying to apply the accelerator without really opening the steering. And so contact with the tyre wheel, which needs now to be replaced, as well as the barrier as well.
So an early end to this session, losing around about 17 minutes of qualifying time here. We will be back with the evening session, another qualifying session, so the times will count. Weather at the moment really, really lovely. One or two incidents, including the CP Racing number 21 car coming into contact with the Toyota Altis of Team Toyota Thailand, Gazoo Thailand, and they were asked to go and see the clerk of the course there. And then with 17 minutes to go, the number 131 Porsche hitting the wall on the Grand Prix circuit. Very hard indeed. And the session coming to a halt for barrier repairs, meaning that we lost a little over, as I say, 17 minutes of that session, which is not what people want to see. Particularly in the lower classes, because these are their qualifying times. So just a quick reminder of what has happened then in this slightly truncated session with BMW and Rover with their M4 GT3 on top of the pile by what was a pretty healthy 1.1 seconds at the end from Valkenhorst Motorsport and another BMW, then Mercedes Team Bilstein, Talksport Porsche, Team GetSpeed Mercedes, Audi Team Phoenix, KCMG in their Porsche, Rover Racing with the second of their BMWs, Aston Martin Vantage from TF Sport, and Manti making up the top 10. Looking further down for some of the class leaders, SPX was in 15th position, the best of those. True Racing with the KTM Crossbow and Marcus Poltalla in the Cup X. You have to go down into the 30s for Teichmann Racing in another Crossbow, but this time in GTX category. And down in the mid-30s for Klaus Abelin, for Fricadelli, for the GT3 Cup 2 runners. 22 classes here across the weekend. Dodge Viper, the best of the AT class runners, in 41st position. In 50th, Aston Martin GT4, which is the SP8T category from Dürr Motorsport. And then down into the 50s with Cup 3, FK Performance leading that with a 263 car in 51st position. TCR, Hyundai Motorsport, the 820. Thomas Lauck last in the Elantra. SP10, BMW, that was the best car there in 55th position for the number 79, the privately entered car. Hoffa Racing in 63rd, the best of the SP3Ts. And a little further down, 66th for the Subaru, leading SP3T. SP7, Huber Motorsport in 68th position. And then down into the 70s. How many cars, Ben, did you reckon we didn't see? Just three at the end.
If the entry list is 138 confirmed,
yeah,
then we're missing three.
Okay. Cup 5, Adrenaline Motorsport in 78th position. They are on provisional pole there with their M2 Racing Cup. And as we head into the 80s, we'll find some more class leaders. SP4T, a privately entered 718 Cayman in 85th position, the 718. And then we have to wait to the 90s for our next pole sitter. It's another Adrenaline Motorsport Porsche Cayman, this time a 981S. That's the number 396, and they lead V6 in 95th position. VT2 rear drive, the 336 FK Performance BMW. 97th, the 240i class is led by Schnitzelarm Racing GmbH with the 245 car. And in 100th position, the front-wheel drive VT2 category leader, Hyundai Driving Experience with the i30N. 103rd, that's a class leader as well in SP3 for Toyota Gazoo Racing, the all-Thai team Toyota Altis, and 119. V5 in 106th position, Adrenaline Motorsports Cayman, and FK Performance in 107th position for the 325i. And our final class leader, the 300 car, in 113th position for Mathol Racing's Porsche 718S. And beyond that, we had problems for the Toyota Corolla Altis in 120, in position 121. That was the car that lost the right-hand side door. 132 cars seen, and the last out there, the number 118, the Dacia Logan, which did get out on the circuit. I have a feeling we'll be talking about that car in our rundowns quite a lot. The Team Motoflex car, Jürgen Bussmann, Oliver Kreiser, Michael and Yannick Lackmeyer. Back for the evening session. Join us then. Bye-bye.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.